Welcome to the Illustrator Studio. I am Jesse Kowalski, Curator of Exhibitions at the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. The Illustrator Studio is a weekly interview series, a project of the museum's Rockwell Center for American Visual Studies. In this episode of the Illustrator Studio, we welcome two of Fantasy Illustration's most popular artists, Boris Vallejo and Julie Bell. Peruvian-born Vallejo has become the master of the sword and sorcery genre. After studying art in his native country, Vallejo moved to the United States, where he has steadily built a tremendous career. Over the last 50 years, he has painted every major fantasy figure, from Tarzan to John Carter, Conan the Barbarian, and many more. And one of today's most in-demand fantasy artists, Julie Bell, studied art in college. While achieving great success in professional bodybuilding, she met Boris Vallejo. In 1989, she began modeling for him and was inspired to return to illustration. In 1991, her work appeared on the cover of Heavy Metal magazine, and the demand for her work has continued to grow. Vallejo and Bell married in 1994 and continue to inspire each other, often collaborating on paintings. I should note that both artists will be featured in the Norman Rockwell Museum's summer exhibition, Enchanted, A History of Fantasy Illustration, opening on June 12th. Boris and Julie, welcome.
Hey.
Hello, how you doing?
Great to be here.
Before we get into your background, I just want to note that the catalog for the Enchanted exhibit features the work of both of you and your sons Anthony and David, Julie.
That's right, yeah.
And they become accomplished fantasy artists in their own right.
Yes.
So how does it feel to see your children not only following in your footsteps, but achieving great success doing that work?
It's seriously beyond my wildest dreams. Really is. I mean, they're so inspiring to me and to both of us, really. And
absolutely. You know, yeah. I have to also, you know, I want to put this also in between here that I have a son also and a daughter, and they both professional artists too.
Yeah, Boris, I've been a fan of your work as long as I can remember. I remember when I was a child, I owned a puzzle that had one of your paintings on it.
Oh, yes.
Very clearly, yeah.
Which still, painting was that?
Sorry?
Which painting was that?
Oh my gosh, I don't so long ago. But yeah. I remember being blown away.
Paintings that were done, you know, when my that were made into puzzles. Mm-hmm. So,
uh-huh. Yeah, no, I remember being blown away by your work. I wanted to know, how did you get started in fantasy illustration?
Well, actually, definitely one of the things that really, really got me into doing fantasy illustration was the work of Frank Fassetta. And I have to give credit to the man, you know, for being really one of the pillars of that genre. And one of the things that really, really attracted me enormously about his work was, number one, the way he portrayed people. You know, the people were, the men were very muscular. And I was very much into that. I always, when I was a teenager, you know, I got into bodybuilding and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And the women were also, you know, really very feminine. And then what he did with the backgrounds, it was the style, the way he portrayed the people and the way he portrayed the backgrounds were really, really astonishing, different from most people. So that's what really got me interested into doing that kind of illustration.
And did you ever meet him?
I met him once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both met him when we were together at Comic-Con.
And it was
Comic-Con
actually
once.
Really, really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because all those years, you know, that we were doing the same type of work, we never got to meet each other.
Right. Even though we really actually live very close to where
in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Over an hour away. Yeah.
So Boris, you moved to the U.S. I think at age 23. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
So, as a young artist starting out in a new country, what types of projects were you working on? Did it take a while to get started, or did you just jump right in?
Well, it was actually really, really a very interesting way to start. Because I wasn't really so sure of what direction I wanted to go with my art. I knew that I wanted to come to the United States because I was doing freelance work in Peru, in South America. And one of the art directors that I was doing work for was an American. And he's the one that said to me, listen, you know, you are really good and you should go to the United States. And specifically, you should go to New York City. And when he said that to me, I actually really, to tell you the truth, I got panicky. It's like, New York City, what? My God. You know, I mean, I had never been out of my country. I certainly didn't speak any English, not a word of English. And I really, really, you know, it's just like it was so scary for me, the idea that, of coming here. But I did, you know, it took me a few weeks to think about it. And then I thought, I'm just going to do it. And let's see what happens. And it happened.
And so, what kinds of things did you start on?
Well, the thing that I started is that I got a job actually doing illustrations for a department store. Uh-huh. It was actually, they were selling, you know, like, it's like, it was like a supermarket. Mm-hmm. And I wanted me to illustrate the merchandise that they had, you know, and they had
like in the circulars,
right, circulars, newspaper, advertising,
so yeah.
And, you know, which was really good for me. It wasn't really what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, but I was making a living. And I was actually developing a technique that was really, really good for me to be, how could I put it, you know, really so disciplined.
Yeah, man, the kind of drawings that he did, they were just these little ink drawings of just products and like serious discipline, because he would have to do like a whole bunch, like every day they would say, do all these by tomorrow. And so his mental library of drawing skills is just phenomenal because of that background, just so much drawing every day, all these different things that he just did because that's what was put in front of him to draw, you know.
That's great. And, you
know, it was a really very developing product, you know, to just, you know, have the how could I put it, you know, the discipline, mm-hmm. really discipline to sit down whatever time it is so that you can have this work done quickly the next day. Mm-hmm. So that was a good beginning.
Yeah, so when I was growing up, some of the most influential fantasy artists from my childhood, I guess there would be four main ones. Frank Frazetta, of course, Jeff Jones, Brian Froud, and you. And I was wondering, when did you know that you'd finally made it as an artist?
I haven't made it yet. Yeah. You know, really, quite honestly, I really don't think about it. I really don't think about it because I don't want to think this is it, you know, this is it. So then what? That's it? That's where you stop?
But there was a time when you were in your career where you felt like, I'm actually doing this now. I'm part of that world now. And I would guess that had to do with when you started doing book covers for publishers.
Actually, it was even before that.
Yeah.
Because before I started doing the book covers, I was doing comics. Mm-hmm. I started doing comics, not the inside mm-hmm. of the comics, mm-hmm. but the covers. Mm-hmm. And that indeed, you know, really prepared me for the covers of books.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, to whatever, you know, came around, you know, like movie posters and, you know, all kinds of different things, you know. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, since you brought up movie posters, one of my favorite ones you've done is Barbarella.
Yeah.
I think probably your most seen work around the world is probably the poster for National Lampoon's Vacation. Chevy yeah. Chase.
Agreed.
How did you get that gig for a comedy film? And why did the producers choose you, I guess? And how much input did you have in creating that poster?
You know, I had nothing to do with it. I was just there and they called me and they told me that that's what they wanted me to do.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You had done a couple of paintings, or at least one painting for, I think, Mad Magazine or something previous to that.
Right, right.
And it was kind of done in this real satirical way and, you know, where the characters were funny. They were like realistic, but really characterized, you know, made us caricatured, and they were funny and bigger than life. And I'm just thinking that maybe they saw this kind of satirical, like they could see that you had that sense of humor.
Absolutely.
And it's like a realistic thing, but still with this sense of humor that also brings it as bigger than life.
Yes.
And it just makes it
really funny. That's actually precisely what made me really get into this kind of approach, you know, to illustration. It was just, it had a sense of humor, it had style, it flowed, you know, in a really odd way sometimes, you know, and I love that.
Because he's definitely somebody who has a big sense of humor. Yeah. It's a weird sense of humor, but it's a big
one. Well, what can I say?
You've both won a number of awards throughout your careers. You both received the Chesley Award for Lifetime Artistic Achievement, which is phenomenal. How does it feel to be acknowledged as two of the top illustrators of our time?
Well, it's a huge honor. I mean, there's so many amazing artists out there, and the people, the other people who win these awards are like, we're like, wow, they're so good, you know? And it's just a real honor. It makes us really very, very happy to know that our work touches people, you know, that it really captures their imagination and means something to them. It really means a lot to us, you know, because we're putting a lot of ourselves into it. And when we get this kind of a feedback that we've actually, you know, made an impact, it's a wonderful feeling of reciprocity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Julie, I wanted to ask you, many people strive to be good at just one thing in their lives. But you have managed to excel at least three that I know of: bodybuilding, art making, and then raising two boys.
Don't you
ever get tired?
I do not. I don't have time for that.
She's unbelievable.
I actually don't get tired.
She is unbelievable. She does not get tired.
No, I don't.
So what's a typical day like for the two of you?
Well, we get up pretty early. We get up like 6:37. Just because, you know, and generally, like, we'll have breakfast and read the newspaper. I like to have that. The morning is kind of sacred, like nobody messes with my morning things. And it's like, you know, newspaper reading and, you know, breakfast and hanging out with our dogs and listening to music. And then walking the dogs for like an hour every day is also a part of the routine. And then after that, you know, just get to work. It used to be different, of course, before COVID. We would go out and do a lot of things. Nowadays, since we're just at home, there's a lot more just, you know, working and painting. And I do enjoy that. I miss seeing people and getting out to do that stuff, but I really like having so much time to spend just being creative. And we used to go to the gym also, but we don't do that. We're working out at home now. So actually, that's kind of interesting, because when you're working out at home and you get into that routine, you actually can do more, and in a whole different, like, it's all different ways from the way we used to. So it's kind of, you know, an interesting shakeup in some of that kind of stuff. Some things have been much healthier for us that way.
And you mentioned to me before that you both work side by side in the studio. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We'll do it.
Yeah.
And you often collaborate together as well, right?
Well, I wouldn't say often, you know, we do. We definitely do. We're working on a painting right now that's the two of us together. And right. We have some of our commissions people specifically want both of us to be working on it. They want both names on it, and they want both of our, you know, input into the painting.
And also, you know, I have to say, you know, formerly, I would say a few years ago, our styles were more similar.
Yeah. True.
At this point, you know, Julie has developed her own way, mm-hmm. her own style of working on her painting. And it's incredible. It's unbelievable. It's just it's so gorgeous, oh, beautiful.
Thank you.
And you know, I had to get up from work and just look at what she's doing, you know, because it's kind of, my gosh, you know, really, this is unbelievable.
Hey, Julie, you're working on a series of wildlife paintings now, correct?
Is that
the direction you're going after? Are you still sticking with fantasy, or was it?
You know, I really would not ever want to pin myself down into one thing. I'm just not that kind of a person. And I, another thing I'm doing also is a children's book that's like really interesting. It's really different. I've got it written and I have had an editor work with me, and I have a publisher that's, you know, really excited about the whole project. It's just going to be a really cool thing. The art is very different for typical children. It's more kind of psychedelic, and you know, it's just going to be real different. I'm really excited about it. I've always wanted to do a children's book, and so this just was weird because this publisher came to me at a moment when it was just amazing synchronicity there, and I was just letting it sit on the shelf for a long time. And then when they popped up, I was really mentally starting to get myself ready to do it. And I was like, this is so weird. I'm just thinking the thoughts. I want this children book to happen. And all of a sudden this guy, you know, he's like, we're looking for someone to do this kind of a book. And so anyway, it was just amazing.
And how did the two of you meet?
Because of the bodybuilding. I mean, I was in a contest that was in New Jersey that had been sponsored by a guy that Boris knew, and he was a gym owner. I won this contest, and then he, you know, called Boris and said, you've got to meet this woman, she'd be a great model for you, and that kind of thing. So it was just, you know,
so I did.
Yeah, it was a weird meant to be kind of thing, like the universe made it happen.
That's great.
Things, yeah.
Both of you paint your figures so perfectly. You're bare chested men. You know, you're strong women. The anatomy is so perfect. I was just wondering how you both learned to do anatomy.
In my case, you know, I actually, when I was going to high school, I got the feeling that what I wanted to do after high school would be study medicine. And in fact, I studied pre-med, you know, when I finished high school. And then, you know, I started doing freelance work just to make extra money. But I, you know, my idea was that I was going to be a doctor. Until I got there, you know, studying medicine, and I really, really feel I'm making money, you know, doing art. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really that seriously into medicine, you know? However, you know, it really made me be aware of the human body. And I use that, you know, for my painting. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, and I think that also for me, just, you know, like first definitely doing all the life drawing, but also I've always been someone who, like, I love bodybuilding. It was a really fun thing. But before that, I had done a lot of dance and gymnastics and that kind of stuff. And I had a feeling for my own body and the way the muscles worked was always fascinating to me, even when I was a kid. I remember the first time I realized like how that you could feel muscles flexing and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I think just, you know, that awareness from the inside out, you know, enhanced my feeling for anatomy and art.
And what kind of references do you use? Do you use photographic references or do you still use live models?
So mostly we do work with photographs. Occasionally, I have the luxury of working with a live model. It's a whole different kind of look and painting and everything. But I mean, right now for this past year, we haven't had any models here, but we have a really great library of
I mean, we have been working with past models, you know, really, really unusual top models, really for years and years. Mm-hmm. So we have an enormous library, you know, photography.
Yeah. Yeah. And photography itself has been, you know, a lot of fun. I mean, just, you know, doing it as reference for the paintings, you know, we've learned a lot about just photography, and it's so interesting to see how that affects your art. And, you know, we've kind of been thinking about how over the years the changes in our photography methods have changed the look of the art as well. So that's
Julie, could you tell me about your early career in fantasy illustration? So you were on the cover of Heavy Metal in 91. And if I'm not mistaken, you were the first woman to draw Conan the Barbarian for Marvel Comics?
As far as that's what I was told. And I think that's true. I don't really, I can't think of any other before that. Yeah, I did a lot of video game covers during that time in my early years there. And that was a really fun product to be working for. I liked that a lot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, there are so many... you know, working at the Roman Rocco Museum with Golden Age illustrators, you know, most of them were men, but in the fantasy exhibit I'm doing now, you know, a lot of the contemporary illustrators today are women. And it seems like you were kind of one of the, you know, you kind of started this whole phase now of great female fantasy illustrators.
That's cool. Well, I'm really, I do think it's really neat to see how many more women are in the field these days. It's really something. I think having game art has really brought in a whole lot of new people. And so, you know, it's just been, it's neat to watch what they're doing right now. I like that. It's amazing. It's really amazing.
And how did both of your art careers influence the art careers of your children?
Well, I mean, they grew up with this surrounding them. And so this was, you know, I think for one thing, growing up with that around you takes away the mystery, like this feeling, like I grew up not with that around me. And I never knew a professional artist that made a living doing their art until I met Boris, really, when I was 30 years old. And so I always had this feeling like, how does it work? You know, it's so mysterious. Like this world is so different from the rest of the world. And I didn't understand how a person could do that. So I think that they grew up with that around them and they, you know, I would take them with me to Marvel Comics and meet people there. And that was really fun. And, you know, they would go to Comic-Con with us and just different things that they, it felt more like the normal world to them. So I think that made it where they were more just comfortable in that world. And they really liked, you know, seeing what we did. And they definitely, absolutely. Even, you know, before all that, they, you know, my kids were really always artistic and always drawing a lot. And, you know, so.
Sure.
I think it's just, when you're surrounded by it, it's just part of your, you know, the world around you sure. In a natural way, which is kind of really cool. So.
Looking back, what artwork or artworks are you most proud of that you have created?
I can't say that it's anything that really, for me, stands out that way. You know, I really put myself into whatever I get, you know, to do. If it's something that doesn't appeal to me, I don't take it. But if I take something, I actually put myself into it. So everything that I do, you know, has a very special feeling for me.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me, I mean, I feel kind of similar. And I was going to say, I feel a lot about what I'm doing now, but I think I've always felt that way all along. It really and truly is kind of like your own children. You know, you, as you go along, if you just kept having more kids, if I had as many kids as I had paintings, it'd be a lot of kids. But at the same time, I think I would love each and every one of them in their own way. And I really feel like, you know, when you spend time doing a painting, if you're not loving it, you know, you're definitely missing it. You're not going to get the same results from it. So, I mean, I do love what I'm doing and I love the paintings. The ones that I've been doing recently, especially when they have animals and when I'm really getting more expressive with my fantasy too, where it can be more surrealistic and, you know, bringing animals into the fantasy world and getting more kind of psychedelic in the way that I'm doing a lot of my, just the painting style with the backgrounds and everything. I'm just having such a blast. I can't really pick out one or even, you know, I don't know. I guess some of the larger pieces I've done, I am really proud of. But at the same time, there are some really small pieces that I just feel like, I just love this painting, you know, it feels really special to me.
And who are some of the artists that influenced both of you?
Well, to begin with, I actually was influenced by the Renaissance, you know, people. the artists, you know, Murillo and Velázquez and so on and so forth. And as I got into illustration, you know, there were of course a number of illustrators that I really, really looked up to. I wasn't really following, you know, them, but I was just looking at their work. And I would say the one that was the biggest influence, you know, for me was Frazetta. Mm-hmm. And you know, after that, I just went on my own. I really looked at everything, but I didn't look at anybody in particular. Mm-hmm. So.
And I would say for me, when I was studying in school, we were, you know, we did a lot of master copies of drawings from the old masters. And so that was my big influence back then. But then also around the same time, I discovered Art Nouveau. And I loved that stuff. I tell you, man, like the art, like Duloc and Kay Nielsen to me really stand out. Like Kay Nielsen just does those really weird things. I just love their sense of design and just the way it's so strange, you know, and I just go nuts over that. But I really love Waterhouse and Sargent and I don't know, the people that are also producing art now, there's so much stuff online that just blows my mind. I every day I look at things on Instagram and, you know, different places, and I really like to see what everybody's doing, and it's so inspiring.
What do you feel is your greatest achievement in life?
I guess for me, I really definitely feel that my family is, mm-hmm. you know, and what we have right now, the way my family is, it's huge for me to feel like that we have this much communication with each other and
we
just, trust
we are
each
very
other.
Close to each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's it. That's the main thing in the whole world to me.
Yeah.
So I met both of you at the AluxCon conference in, I think it was October 2019, and you were both some of the most down-to-earth, the nicest artists I'd ever met, and then talking with you these past months, working on the exhibits, you've both been so great. So, you know, with all you've done, with all you've accomplished, how do you stay so humble and down-to-earth?
I guess we know that we're just people like everybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
it's hard to get up on your high horse. Right. It's so easy to fall down.
Not only, you know, in my case, I have to say, you know, I would never really would want to separate from the rest of the world, you know, and to feel like, oh, I am above this, you know.
Yeah.
No. It's part of what we are, you know. It's part of what we have. And it's really nice to really be in between all that, you know?
And what is it about fantasy inspires you?
I think that fantasy art, I think that number one, like visually, there's like the beauty of it in terms of like the way bodies are portrayed and the use of the backgrounds to bring you into other worlds. But I think also just like metaphorically and really spiritually, I think that it's something that really expresses so many human experiences and, you know, our needs and things and like the need for empowerment, like self-empowerment. I feel like that's a lot of what's going on with fantasy art or fantasy in general, fantasy literature. So that's what really attracts me.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say that I think it's really wonderful to be able to make the things, you know, that are really non-existent, to make them real and to make it, you know, part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And both, you know, we are part of that and that is part of us too. So it's a wonderful thing to have in your life.
It is. It's just fun to also be in that world when you're working on something, you know, you really can just be in that world. And it's great to be able to like be out walking my dogs and thinking, you know, I have the perfect excuse to just go for a walk and be in dreamland and think about unicorns all day. Mm-hmm. It's like, what could be better? It's so fun.
Well, that's about all the time we have. I want to thank both of you for all you've done, for your help with the exhibition, and just for inspiring so many people with your brilliant artwork.
Thank you so much for including us. And, it's just, we're really, really excited about this whole exhibit and very honored to be part of it.
Terrific. Okay, for more information, check out borisjulie.com and juliebell.com. and our own websites, nrm.org, illustrationhistory.org, and visit the Rockwell Center for American Visual Studies at rockwell-center.org. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to the latest content. And this has been a production of the Norman Rockwell Museum.